I'm really privileged to work with such great colleagues like Representative Wilson and Senator Milner, and privileged to be up here and speak with them. My name is John Notwell. I represent parts of Southwest Salt Lake County in Harriman, Western Riverton, and Southwest South Jordan, and I'm here to talk to you a little bit about single sales factor today. A single sales factor, just real briefly explained, is an alternate corporate income tax apportionment strategy. It doesn't necessarily mean a tax cut. In some cases, some businesses might even pay more in taxes as a result of it, but the way we structured it here in Utah, it would be electable. We'll get to that in just a second. There's a triple weight system in our state today. Some of this is probably elementary for you, but I wasn't sure how many people knew what this was. So a triple weight system where a percentage of nationwide property, payroll, and sales taxes of those located within the state are apportioned equally. Obviously, taxing systems are meant to kind of guide a multi-state business. There's a double weight system as well where sales is double weighted and then the other two are equally proportioned. And then, of course, there's single sales factor where 100% of the corporate income tax is based on the percentage of sales that occur within Utah. Some benefits of single sales factor: it would benefit companies with majority payroll and property in Utah but export 100% of their manufactured goods in the case of manufacturing, or sell all or entirely outside Utah. So obviously the opposite is true. Single sales factor would not benefit companies that have majority payroll and property in the state, and then all of their goods are sold, or most of their goods are sold here within Utah. So the question then is, why single sales factor? The first one is that we are in a worldwide economy. Utah is competing with China, with India, Eastern Europe, Latin America, et cetera, on a global stage. And that's probably interesting for some of us to think about, but Utah, we are one of the brightest stars on the flag. So for us to compete globally, we are competing not only against cheap labor, but we're competing against quality of life and economic and financial factors as well. We're also competing probably more heavily with other states. We're competing with states that have much larger budgets than we do, much more aggressive incentives than we do. And when you have larger budgets and much more aggressive incentives, you can do things like build entire factories for free for a company that's willing to make a long-term commitment. The third reason is capital investment. Representative Wilson touched on this briefly, but capital investment follows the path of least resistance. It only goes where it's wanted. Capital brings stickiness to its benefactor, i.e. Utah. If I'm going to make an investment of, you know, $1 to $5 billion in capital into the state, I'm likely going to spend a few years as a result of it. So we're always looking for opportunities to bring capital investment in our state. And then, of course, the most important thing, when we talk about tax policy, states kind of compete economically with tax policy with each other. And we've kind of crossed the Rubicon as it results to single sales factor. Once one state did it, other states were sure to follow. And lastly, we already use it in Utah. We've had single sales factor in some element in our economy since 2007. We have a history of it in our state, which also means that we have a history of seeing how successful it can or can't be. So let's talk briefly about House Bill 61, which was titled Corporate Franchise and Income Tax Changes, but at the end of the day, it was about implementing a single sales factor a little more broadly in our state. We studied this in our interim meeting in 2015 briefly. I wish we would have spent more time studying it. We would have had a better initial product as we came out. I think what we ended up with was much better. We had decided to apply all tax filers to the single sales factor schema in the first rendition of the bill. As you can see, that had a $138 million immediate impact to the education budget. It's important to note that that is a negative impact to the education budget. As you can imagine, that probably went over like a lead balloon. For those that followed WPU, that's about 5.5% WPU impact negatively immediately. So we knew we couldn't move forward that way. So then the substitute, we made some dramatic changes to the substitute, and we added an additional industry classification to our existing single sales factor code, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but at high-tech manufacturing, approximately 300 companies could qualify for a change in their apportionment strategy, and we made it electable so that those companies that it would benefit could take it, those companies that it wouldn't take it. So here's the dynamic fiscal impact. Roughly 2 years, we would see a positive $24 million bump to our education fund, a $16 million bump to our general fund, And the estimation is that it would be between $1 and $4 billion in capital investment into our economy as a result of it. The industry classification we chose was high-tech manufacturing. These are very high-paying jobs, squarely in our STEM focus as a state. Engineers, of course, high-paying jobs means we have high incomes. High incomes means we have an immediate positive impact into our education budget. And of course, those high incomes also means they spend money in our local economy and our state economy buying goods and services within the state. We also have we have proven success with this. As I mentioned, we did it in 2007, and we saw $1.5 billion of capital investment in the state, 1,200 new jobs brought in as a result of it as well. So we have success in Utah in pursuing this path. So the last thing briefly is what's next. I think we need to continue to evaluate the current system. Is it working? I think the short answer, based on what we've seen, is yes. We need to decide if we're going to pursue this electable or a mandated single sales factor approach. Electable has benefits. Obviously, only those people that it will benefit will take it. Mandated also means that we tend to balance the tax receipts at the same time. And let's take a look at some additional industry classifications as we pursue this into the future. Senator Stevenson asked us to keep our remarks short, which I think was wise. Politicians during election years tend to bloviate, so thank you for your time today, guys.